You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. So there's no doubt that sport has a great effect on society. It's why we pay attention. It's why we follow really compelling news stories. And it seems almost strange that within a news cycle, there will be X number of minutes devoted to the sports segment. It really touches us in many ways. Now, for some people, it's just about the competitive spirit, watching teams try very, very hard to win a game, watching the X's and O's of coaches. But for others, it's about health and wellness. They're looking at different ways to make their body stronger, bigger, faster, to perform better. They're looking at how they can motivate a friend or a relative to get in good health, to pay attention to how their body works. But regardless of the reason, sport continues to play a big part in our lives. And I like to emphasize the part of sport, which is most of sport, how it does good. Sport's doing good. So with today's segment, I'd like to highlight two interesting articles that have come out in terms of people in sport doing good. First off, the NFL Foundation and the Minnesota Vikings, my purple and gold team. The NFL Foundation and the Minnesota Vikings refurbished youth fields in Minneapolis before hosting this year's Super Bowl. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. Before the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots took the field for the Super Bowl, local youth football teams celebrated the arrival of their new football fields. A trio of organizations, including the NFL Foundation Grassroots Program, which is a national nonprofit organization called the Local Initiatives Support Corporation, LISC, and the Vikings have worked together to refurbish 10 fields in Minnesota. It's part of a 20-year effort. 20 years the NFL has been doing this, where they bring athletic fields to kids in under-resourced communities in areas where the league has a team. That makes sense. To date, the NFL Foundation and LISC have spent over $40 million together to refurbish or create more than 350 fields in 100 cities, with LISC helping to serve rural communities in 44 states. Fields are newly built or significantly renovated, with improvements including irrigation systems, lights, bleachers, scoreboards, goalposts, and turf. And if you think back, possibly in your background, your journey as a youngster, how many fields did you play on where it was hard as cement? How about fields where there were no lights? And although mom and dad were calling you to come home, come out from the dark where you could possibly get hurt, but instead you were out there playing, have a great time in the dark. And everybody remembers those bleachers where if you moved slightly to the left or slightly to the right, there was a chance that you get a splinter in your tail. Well, safe spaces to play are not only good for kids, they're great for communities. And a report from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation concludes that activity-focused spaces in neighborhoods have a significant impact on mental health and violence prevention, lowering the risk factors for chronic disease, higher graduation rates, more cooperation among neighbors, and other benefits. That definitely sounds like something we need in our community. So my Vikings have contributed $1.6 million towards the most recent local efforts in Minnesota in advance of this year's Super Bowl, helping to refurbish athletic fields and recreational areas, such as the Jimmy Lee Field, where St. Paul's new mayor, Mayor Melvin Carter, used to play as a child. This much-used field, which was actually built in the 1960s, have fallen into disrepair, but was renovated in 2012 with AstroTurf, that's pretty cool to have as a youngster, lighting, landscaping, additional fields, and even a play area for smaller children. Today, Mayor Carter has had the opportunity to see his own children play on the very same field. So I'd like to go a little bit further into that report that was sponsored by Robert Johnson Wood Foundation. The problem was is that studies have demonstrated that in particular African-American adolescents are disproportionately overweight or obese, and that these conditions are linked to a lack of physical activity. But sadly, there's limited research regarding environmental factors that affect physical activity or lack of activity among African Americans. What draws adolescents to recreational centers and parks? I knew I grew up almost spending most of my life at our local community center. After school, I'd get my homework done, and I made a bullet up to our community center where I would laugh and play sports all day until late at night. What keeps African-American children away from these centers and parks? And what environmental elements would motivate African-American youth to become more physically active? Well, Dr. Amy Rees knew from her studies that African-American youth are at risk for low levels of physical activity and high rates of obesity. And she also knew that little research had been conducted to determine how the youth's environments affected both conditions. She specifically wanted to investigate these factors that influence the use of recreation centers and parks. So her project from October 25 to June 2007, as part of her doctoral dissertation and with an active living research grant, Rees interviewed 48 African-American teens aged 14 to 18 and observed teenagers at 24 public recreational facilities. She also assessed park use and perceptions of park availability and quality by analyzing surveys of 329 Baltimore high school students. From her direct observations and interviews, Rees concludes that facility use is influenced by characteristics of the physical, social, organizational, and economic environments. Adolescents, here's the key, adolescents are attracted to low-cost, well-maintained facilities that offer preferred activities and are within close proximity to home. Adolescents with limited access to facilities use alternative play spaces like the streets or vacant lots where they risk injury from falling or being hit by a car. They're drawn to facilities where they find active adolescents and avoid those where young people are engaged in drug or gang activity. Concerns about facility safety largely determine use, particularly for adolescent females. So this is going beyond the build it and they will come approach. You must create an environment that is conducive to use. Often we think that there's one thing we can do to change everything, but we need interventions that address the physical environment, the social environment, and at the individual level, people's perceptions of the environment. So, let's pause and think. What's happening locally to empower our young people through sports? You're listening to Dr. Debbie Stroman, If You Only Knew. You're back with Dr. Debbie Stroman, If You Only Knew. I always like to spend time thinking about all the great things that sport does in our society. So today I want to talk about a really interesting platform using technology to empower young people who are interested in sport participation. For some 2018 U.S. Winter Olympians, their origin stories almost seem inevitable. There is British-born but American-raised freestyle skier Gus Kenworthy, who grew up in Telluride, Colorado, one of the skiing capitals of our country, if not the world. It would have been more surprising had the 2014 Olympic men's freestyle skiing silver medalist not begun to ski. Likewise, there is cross-country skier Jesse Diggins, whose background is quite similar. Raised in Chile, Minnesota, where she says she grew up on skis, Diggins remembers riding in her parents' backpacks as a child as they cross-country skied themselves. Nathan Chen was three when he said he wanted to be a hockey goalie, and his mother rented him skates, only she saw the flatter figure skating skates and figure that those might be the right starter kit. And now he's contending for a gold medal in Pyeongchang, South Korea. So perhaps she was right. And then, for those whom one chance meeting, like say when Lindsey Vonn met Peekaboo Street when she was 9, one gold medalist encountering another, it set the stage for their success. But for so many, lots and lots of young people watching the Winter Olympics, it becomes a spark for a youth who want to join a new sport. And for a long time, simply getting an introduction into sports was a challenge. Is there a white pages, for those who even remember that, for the luge? Who did you call when you wanted to join a bobsled team? And certainly for people who live in warm weather states or warm weather areas, you might not have even the imagination to begin to think about participation, unless you happen to have a family member, parent, relative who turned on the television where you could see these sports. And not to mention what kind of equipment do you need to even play hockey. But now, with new technological advances, the advances made with the internet and the web, and how we can point and click and find information that we never thought was possible or was available to us, with Sport Engine's launch of a new youth sports directory, finding a way to convert a child's newfound interest into action is easier than ever. Sports Engine, the NBC-owned youth sports property, has teamed up with the United States Olympic Committee to increase participation in sports that young people and adults are just discovering during this Olympic season. The Olympic movement inspires millions of people, and there's no better time for the youth of America to start their Olympic journey than during the Games. And that was stated by Gary Zenkel, the president of NBC Olympics. Our Gold Map initiative has connected thousands of kids with sports organizations in their local communities for the past 2 Games, and with the power of SportsEngine.com, we're confident that we will generate greater interest in Winter Olympic sports by providing parents and kids with a more seamless search experience. Now, Sports Engine's youth sports directory is not only for those with an eye towards a gold medal, but also for casual newcomers looking for fun in a sport they've only just discovered, as winter sports can be some of the hardest for which to find an introduction. Please visit SportsEngine.com. I think it's a really cool site, and it can really help you learn about the particular Olympic sports. Now, what they did is they partner with select organizations that share their focus on increasing participation in youth sports. And of course, sports is often used as a platform to teach values, to instill determination, hustle, teamwork, leadership, all these different values that will help you later on in life. And whether that's in an academic setting, a professional setting at work, relationships with your family and friends, sports can do that for you. And Sports Engine, again, not only just increasing participation in sports that young people might not be familiar with, but they're about teaching core values and making our local communities better and safer places to play. So if you click on the site, you'll see a number of Olympic sports, winter sports, so that you can learn more. Everything from alpine skiing to what is the biathlon? How about short track? Skeleton? Paralympics? I'm sure there's someone out there who would probably lose a bet if they were asked, what is Nordic combined? And you can also use SportsEngine.com to see if you really want to try an Olympic sport. Wonder if an elite athlete from another sport, whether that's the NBA, the National Hockey League, if they were to try some of these sports, how would they score? How would they fare? They might not fare any better than an average person. It also has a nice search engine where you can find a sports program near you and go ahead and participate and see if it's in your interest, if it really matches your passion. So you can name what type of sport you're interested in. You can actually put in where. You can put in whether you're participating as a girl or a boy and what age. And then you can find sports. Again, very, very helpful tool. And it's backed by the Team USA, which we know the United States Olympic Committee has done so many great things over the history of its execution and identifying talent, helping talent develop to be better to the point where they're now participating in the games. The Team USA motto is the anchor of excellence, friendship, and respect in amateur sports. And of course, NBC, with their amazing marketing power, being able to broadcast the Olympic Games. It definitely costs a lot, but the branding that they receive, many people feel that the Olympic rings are synonymous with NBC. But you don't have to wait every 4 years to visit an NBC show or to check out the games and your favorite athletes. You can have access to your favorite Olympians 24/7 by visiting sportsengine.com. So in summary, strongly recommend that we continue to provide access and resources to people in our community, whether you're a little one or you're a senior citizen in the area of sport. It creates friendships, it builds bonds, it opens doors, and you can really find your core values in operation in sports. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. So during this segment, I want to continue in the spirit of how sport is so helpful to society. A lot of great things happening. So I'd like to take just a few minutes to talk about my latest venture, Women in Sports Tech. Our website is womeninsportstech.org. And we feel that if you work in the sports tech business, or if you would like to, we welcome you. We're a community of business experts, startup veterans, sports scientists, developers, product designers, marketers, and students committed to the development of growth opportunities for women throughout the sports tech landscape. Now, there's no doubt that sports tech is experiencing an unprecedented explosion in growth, with the sport industry projected to exceed over $74 billion by next year. Globally, the range is from $400 to $600 billion. And so people are moving to this space. We've got the integration of sport, which is very popular worldwide, the integration of technology, and that's broadly defined. Everything from media and communications to sports science. So, for example, the wearable technologies, the sensors on shirts, uniforms, and shoes, to the vast, vast area of talent and facilities and operations. Technological advances are touching sport in a big way, and we want to make sure that women are involved. So we plan on making it easier for sports tech businesses to diversify. Our secret sauce is helping people get the experience. So we're offering fellowships to college-age women, undergrad, and graduate students, up to $5,000 to go work for as an intern over the summer, a sport organization in the tech space. Again, WIST, Women in Sports Tech Fellowships to college-age women, undergrad, and graduate students, up to $5,000 to work as an intern during the summer at a sports tech-related firm. The other way we're helping out is developing talent, identifying those women who are entry-level or seasoned executives, and creating that partnership, that connection between companies that want to hire, that are looking for top talent. You can come to our website, womeninsportstech.org, and learn more and get involved and join our community. We've been excited since our soft launch last fall where we initially just rolled out and put out some feelers, to a week and a half ago where we had our first kickoff event in downtown San Francisco. It was well attended. It was definitely very, very exciting. In fact, I'll say that it was an experience. We had amazing panelists, including Glenna Patton, Stephen Webster, Netta Tatadidia, and Dr. Joseph DeSimone. And they talked about the importance of diversity in their companies and what they've learned, their best practices from years of being in the business. The energy in the room, the passion was absolutely epic. It was electric. And so we're taking our story all across the country. Our next target is the East Coast. Look for more information. But if you want to stay in touch with us, join our community. Again, visit womeninsportstech.org. We've also partnered with, I believe, the number one media company for sports tech news, Sport Techie. And you can find us there where they've written two articles about the company, and also on our website, womeninsportstech.org, you can find their amazing articles about what's happening in the sport tech space. Thanks for listening. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman.